Dear friends, I'm sorry to say that Mr. Jonathan Buss is ill and not able to be with us today. Oh, may the Lord draw near and heal him and comfort his heart. And may this dispensation be sanctified to us each. We pray the Lord may be with us and use the reading services. May we commence with hymn 45. How can ye hope, deluded souls, to see what none e'er saw? Salvation by the works obtained of Sinai's fiery law. Hymn 45.
Thank you.
We shall read from God's holy word two portions. First, the book of the Exodus, part of chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, reading to verse 28. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons for ever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Now we'll turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 9. The prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 9. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth, and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help Benji to pray.
Once more, come and be our helper. Grant us true prayer, that we might truly cry unto thee and to seek thee this day. O Lord, we come wretched, undone sinners. We pray that thou wilt put that true confession in our hearts, that we might fall before thee with a humble, contrite heart. O Lord, do grant us then true repentance, and put that living faith in our hearts, that we might come unto thee, seeking mercy, seeking forgiveness. O Lord, we each need it. We each need thee to come and cleanse us from all our sins, to make us right for that eternity to which we fast hasten on. O Lord, do then remember us now, and enable us to fall before thee, seeking that interest in thy blood. Oh, that we might know something of thy blood sprinkled on our hearts, that thou wilt pass over and not reward us according to our iniquities. Oh, have compassion then upon our never-dying souls and make us right for eternity. Lord, that's our great concern. We need thee while here below, and thou hast granted us each many mercies. Thou hast brought us through, provided for us, and helped us each hitherto, even in the things of time. And we desire those truly grateful hearts, that thankful heart unto thee, for all these things are of thy mercy, all things in thy hand. And we pray then that thou wilt still keep us and preserve us from all the evils and the snares and the temptations that abound on every hand, that we might be found looking unto Jesus. Lord, there is but one thing needful. Oh, may we each know it. May we each be drawn unto thee by the power of thy Holy Spirit to find that interest in thy blood. Oh, do have mercy upon us. Work in our hearts. Put thy fear there and bring us unto thee, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Oh, may we each be able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, the one that can save me to all eternity. Do then quicken each soul here in thy house this morning. Put thy fear there and put that great desire. Oh, leave none out, Lord. If there be any coming careless, we pray that thou wilt work in their hearts, that thou wilt quicken their souls and bring them unto thee. We pray that thou wilt come and work wondrously and use thy word and those things we sing and hear, and that thou wilt bring sinners unto thee, that there might be that rejoicing in thy name. And oh, if it can be thy will, that thou wilt open the mouths of one and another, that they might speak of what thou hast done. Lord, the power is thine alone. We pray that thou wilt put it forth in our midst, that thou wilt send none empty away out of this house this day, and that thou wilt bring forth one and another to rejoice in thee. O Lord, have mercy. We look to thee to work wondrously in our midst, that thou wilt come and build up thy church here, and that thou wilt build it up with thy souls that thou wilt save. O Lord, we do pray then that there might be that true prosperity in this house, if it can be thy will. O Lord, we do pray then for thy servants as they come, week by week, service by service. Oh, that thou wilt make them thy servants, that thou wilt give them each thy message to bring, that thou wilt use that message, that thou wilt open the ears of the deaf, that it might enter in and do them good, that it might be powerful and effectual in hearts, Lord, to bring forth honour and glory to thy name. Do have mercy then on us, and remember us here for good. O Lord, we do pray then that if it can be thy will, that thou might send us that pastor, that under-shepherd, one to go in and out among us and to feed our souls. O Lord, we would not remember, not forget, that thou hast used thy servants in the past, thou hast used thy word, and thou hast brought forth that honour to thy name, for which we would praise thee. And we pray that if it's not thy will, that thou wilt still go before us, and that thou wilt provide for us in bringing thy servants to us. O Lord, we look to thee, and may we have that true grace in our hearts to truly say, thy will be done. O Lord, we look up unto thee then, that thou wilt work even in this great matter. O Lord, we pray then for each one. For O Lord, we do remember thy mercies to us here. Thou hast brought forth those babes even into thy house this day, O Lord, and thou hast built up that congregation. And we pray that thou wilt cause there to be those second births, O Lord, that thy house might be filled with praise unto thee. Thou canst do it. Lord, grant us that faith. O do come and increase our faith, that we each might be enabled to truly trust in thee, to cast all our care upon thee, and to seek thee aright. O Lord, make each one then right for eternity. And Lord, as has been prayed this day earlier, we would remember our country before thee. Thou knowest the wretchedness, the wickedness, the far-offness, O Lord, the evil that abounds in our streets. And we pray that thou wilt come, that thou wilt subdue those forces of evil. For, O Lord, as we have read, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And, O Lord, we need thee as that great almighty power to fight against these things, to subdue the forces of evil, to keep Satan at bay. O Lord, thou canst do it. We pray then for great and mighty things, that thou art a great and mighty God. O, do remember us here then in this land, if it can be thy will. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt help us through this day, that thou wilt use the words read and sung, and that there might be that fruit brought forth to thy honour and glory by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And we pray once more for Jonathan, that thou wilt help him where he is. O Lord, that thou wilt grant all needed help and strength, enable him to stand up once more. O Lord, support him in all his need at this time, for thou knowest all things. O Lord, thou knowest the purposes behind these things, and we pray that thou wilt use them to his good, to the good of thy people. O Lord, have mercy then, and remember us each for good. We pray now that thou wilt help Dave in reading, and that there might be some good thing done. O, do help us then to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Remember us each now for good, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 123. Blood has a voice to pierce the skies. Revenge, the blood of Abel cries. But the dear stream, when Christ was slain, speaks peace as loud from every vein. Hymn 123. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Eli Page. And you'll find the words of the text in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is a part of God's commands to his servant Moses when he was about to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. The Lord has been very gracious in setting forth from the beginning in types and shadows, the riches of that precious atoning blood shed on Calvary's tree. It does not matter, my fellow sinner, what you and I might think we know, or what others may think we know. All profession will prove abortive where there is no blood. Some there are who ridicule the preaching of the blood of God's dear Son. Such, so living and dying, must eternally perish. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is the infinite will of God, in infinite wisdom, to blot out his people's transgressions in rich atoning blood. At times I think of and admire the works and ways of God in redemption as revealed in the scriptures of truth. He blots out of his book all the sins and transgressions of his people, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, so that when sought for they shall not be found. For a person literally to have a book of debts crossed out, it is esteemed the same as though the debts were actually paid. And by virtue of the blood, God blots out the whole of his people's transgressions. What say you? Do you mean to say that a sinner is never to remember his sins anymore? I firmly believe that David, though a pardoned soul after his guilty fall, never forgave himself. But, my fellow sinner, if washed in the blood of Christ, all thy sins and transgressions are blotted out and put away. And when we can truly feel the application of the blood in our consciences, what a favour! Oh, that you and I may know something about it. Seek for a reality. True religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. It is possible to be the scaffolding of a building and yet have nothing to do with the building in reality. Though the scaffolding helps in the erection of the building, yet as soon as it is completed, the scaffolding is removed. And so a man may be the cause instrumentally of truth being brought into a neighbourhood, and may maintain it, may cause that there should be preached salvation for ruined sinners, whereby they may be built up in their most holy faith, may lead others on the way to eternal life, and yet remain outside. solemn thought. Now I say, the Lord very particularly set forth, when man first began to worship upon the earth, the rich atoning blood of his dear Son. Our first parents sewed fig leaves together for clothing, a lively figure of our own endeavours to do something for ourselves. But this fig leaf dress the Lord strips off and makes coats of skins and clothes and makes coats of skins and clothes for our first parents to show that if our sins and nakedness are hid, it must be by the works of another. Again, my fellow sinner, we see Cain and Abel. Cain was commanded to go forth and till the ground in the very order of God's commandment, who had said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." But Cain in his offering, in his worship, brings an offering of the fruits of the ground, expecting the Lord to accept it, the fruits of his own labour. But Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. What was there in Abel's offering more acceptable than the offering of Cain? There was no blood in Cain's offering, but Abel offered the typical blood, a type of the rich blood, the precious blood of Christ, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now there are two things which are referred to in this blood: the literal blood of Abel, which Cain shed, and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Abel called for vengeance. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cries, "Forgive, forgive." We read of the last judgment God brought upon Pharaoh before he brought the children of Israel forth from Egyptian bondage, and the death of the firstborn, both of man and beast. God commanded Moses to take a lamb and kill it at a certain time, and to take of the shed blood and sprinkle it upon the doorposts and the lintels. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." We were reading just now in the 9th of Ezekiel that the Lord said to the man with the writer's inkhorn by his side, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." Now I understand this mark as setting forth the rich atoning blood of Christ. And where this mark was, they were safe. Come not near any man upon whom is the mark. We read that Moses told the elders of Israel to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and strike the lintel and the two side posts, and there was safety and security within their dwellings. Look at this matter, friends. Here is one of the lively types, figurative of Christ's blood, which affords a shelter. The children of Israel had the lamb to feed upon before they went out of the land of Egypt or bondage. This was for their support, strength, and comfort. But their safety was in the sheltering blood. The blood was put on the doorposts. They could see it when they came out of their dwellings afterwards. But there was none on the door sill where it would be trampled underfoot, as hardened antinomians do, who say of sin, "What harm can that do to us? All our sin was laid upon Christ over 1800 years ago." In such a spirit, the blood is trampled underfoot. The Israelites had the blood sprinkled on both sides of their door and over their head. We have a precious figure here. The children of God are beset with enemies of various kinds, but they are enclosed under the shelter of the blood. I remember years ago reading a portion by dear Septimus Sears. He was a man of great grace and was setting forth what it was to be in Christ Jesus. It was to be sheltered, to find a shelter in the blood. I used to say, I do not see so much need of the blood. I used to think, if I had a certain line of experience, I should get to heaven. And I preached experience for some years. But now I desire to preach a precious Christ. Oh, that safe ground and the rich atoning blood which can wash out every stain, the precious blood of Christ. Now we will try and find out who the character is that is thus sheltered. Some of us know a little about it. I love Old Testament characters because they set forth the New Testament. Some may try to come up to a certain standard of experience to make that a criterion of our going to heaven, but it is whether we have faith in the precious blood. As Hart says, faith in the bleeding lamb. Oh, what a gift is this! Hope of salvation in his name. How comfortable 'tis. Some of us can set our seal in these things, and others long to know them for themselves. This type spoken of in the text sets forth everlasting salvation. Some do not know the Lord or care to know him or the precious blood which shelters. But God loves his elect people and he shelters them. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. What was it that preserved us from death literal, when perhaps we were near to it before we knew the Lord? You may say, I never remember being very near. Then your path has been different to some of ours. It was with some of us because the Lord had fixed a day to bring salvation nigh, that we were not cut off. Would to God that many of the young here present might be included in that everlasting love, preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Blood, my fellow sinner, was the cause thereof. God's covenant people Israel were a type of his covenant people down to the end of time. Some kick at covenant love, at God's predestinating Son to eternal glory, but they can never overthrow it. I think Huntington says that God's election and predestination are as immovable as a rock. They can never, never be removed. And it is a mercy for some of us that it is so. His peculiar, particular people are not only included in these privileges, but they are taught to know their interest in them. You say, have I been sprinkled by the precious blood of Christ? Nothing short of the almighty power of God could rescue us from death and hell. But, my fellow sinner, we have a clear description of salvation. He that believeth on the Son shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a rich fullness of everlasting love. His love was stronger than death. This was compassion like a God, that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, his pity ne'er withdrew. Oh, friend, what a mercy that his love is everlasting. Loved of my God, for him again, with love intense I burn. Do I hear some poor heart somewhere say, I wish I was satisfied that he loved me. I would love him. Oh, if I could but feel him mine. Oh, could I but realize these things? I can show you where you are if this is really your case. We love him because he first loved us. Depend upon it, friend, to feel that we would be included in that love comes from loving our souls to the Lord. We could not feel or desire it unless God the Holy Ghost had first implanted and moved this love in our souls. And it is the Holy Ghost alone who must seal home the sweet evidence of this. Faith in the blood preserved the Israelites. The faith of election leads God's children to the precious blood of Christ. God's covenant of faith that saves the soul. Now that faith is the evidence of salvation, the fruit of salvation. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You must believe Christ has done all the work. Some tell us to believe it, receive it, with a natural faith. Now such dishonour the Holy Spirit, whose prerogative it is to give that precious faith, which works by love. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Do you see? That sort of religion brings honour to the three persons in the Trinity. It makes us to know that we cannot act faith of ourselves, that this precious faith is God's gift that he must give us to seek after him. Paul says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Faith is that precious grace without which we cannot be saved or justified. Therefore, what is faith? It is a firm belief in the being and sovereignty of God. I believe this as much as I do my own existence. His omniscient eye looks through me. You know, the eye of God can see you in the darkest night as well as in the day, can see right through you, and can see your heart and nature as well as your actions. I shall never forget, soon after the Lord called me by grace, a man came and wanted a bushel of oats. As I went up into the attic where the corn was kept, as I had not a granary then, something whispered to me, you need not give a full measure. He will trust you and is sure not to measure after you. I said, the eye of God is upon me. But I did not work as a slave under a sense of it. And I think the man got rather more than a bushel of oats. The eye of God sees every action and every thought. God gives a tender conscience in his fear. And if there is never any tenderness in your religion, if you can turn your sixes up and make them nines, as the saying is, do not talk about religion. When God begins with a poor sinner, he makes him honest. There is no shuffling in business, for that will not stand with God's religion, and half lies will not stand. We are told in the word of God by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Many people tell us we do not believe in good works. But when we see good fruit upon a tree, we say it is a goodly tree, and we sigh and groan because we can show so little fruit. Oh, this wretched, wretched heart, going into anything wrong and sinful. Do I possess anything of the spirit of the fear of the Lord? Under the terrible things of God's righteousness, you feel yourself lost, ruined, and undone. But it is to lead thy soul to seek refuge where alone it may be found, in Jesus, the friend of sinners. Such a poor creature as this will sooner or later be brought out. They are satisfied that the Lord can save their soul, but are yet afraid. Their cry is, will he save me? He is able to save, but I fear his willingness. Is there a real willingness in thy breast to be saved? Would you gladly part from everything to be saved by Christ, and Christ alone, and that by the mighty power of God, of his good pleasure? You answer, yes. I am convinced there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. And I have something more or less of a felt need, but I want to feel it more. Dear heart says, come needy, come naked, come loathsome and bare, with nothing to recommend you, come loathsome. Are you loathsome in your own sight? Our nature runs after vanity and things of no profit, and we have nothing to bring to recommend us. We are a mass of sin. Yet, dear heart says, come just as you are. What hard work, poor soul. But it makes way for atoning love and blood. How much preaching there is that would set up something before a precious Christ. People are told of their lost condition to a certain degree, and when half washed, they are to get Christ to finish the rest. But the quickened soul says, Lord, save or I perish. That is it, bringing nothing to him, but come to him to receive. My fellow sinner, what a mercy that salvation is full and free. And it is not the great amount of our faith, but the nature of it. What is the nature of true faith? The life of God. True faith's the life of God. Deep in the heart it lies. It lives and labours under load. Though damned, it never dies. Now, my friends, have you not sometimes felt to bemoan yourselves and felt a long way off? You have sighed perhaps in your spirit, felt cast out of God's sight, then felt a soft whisper of his mercy come into your heart, which has brought a little lively hope in and through Christ Jesus. What I want just to bring before you is what dear Toplady says in one portion upon faith. I knew I deserved hell. I acknowledged my just deserts. That blessed one revealed to me Christ. Christ as the way to God. Christ as the salvation from wrath. I wanted to know that I was interested in him and should be safe and happy forever. Oh, how sure I was there was no salvation anywhere else whereby such abandoned sinners as I should be saved. And what humility a hope of this brought into my heart. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. The blood of Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Toplady says that a weak hand can tie the marriage knot, and a weak faith can lay hold of a strong Christ. It matters not how weak the hand that signs the marriage covenant. The covenant is so strong that nothing can lawfully break it but death. Therefore, I say, a weak, trembling faith, a sensible sinner, afraid that the work is not deep enough, or he has not been brought sufficiently under the law in its spiritual power and condemnation, But if you have faith to view the precious person of Christ and see death and destruction in those around you, and you fear to live and die where they are, how willing you will to be saved. How willing you will be to be saved. Make me right and keep me so. Save my soul with an everlasting salvation will be your cry. And you would never be willing to be saved by Christ, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our willingness springs from himself, and where he gives a willingness and a longing desire to know him, this is the weak hand of faith. Top Lady shows that there are degrees of faith. There is the faith of assurance and the faith of full assurance. Faith is the hand. Love is the ring put upon the hand of faith. Take a figure from the marriage union. A man gives to the woman a marriage ring. It is a beautiful emblem of the love of God. If you turn it about, you cannot find either the beginning or the end of it. And you cannot find out, poor soul, where the love of God begins or ends. Look back into eternity past and forward into eternity to come. We cannot realize or comprehend it. The married woman, if she cares for the man, loves the ring. It is a token of his favour, confidence and love, and she would not part with it. And you will rejoice a little in hope when your poor soul has a touch of God's free favour, his love. Do you know anything of the power of unbelief and infidelity? Have you ever seen out in a forest a tree shaking under the blast? It bends its head almost down to the ground. But when the storm is over, it stands erect. How my poor soul knows this figure. But the Lord liveth, and I shall live too. There is a difference between assurance and full assurance that is like a gold ring set with diamonds. The full love of God in Christ Jesus, which casts out all fear, and that precious blood which cleanseth from all sin and makes the soul as pure as though it had never sinned. There is then no fear of death. For perfect love casteth out fear. And where love exists, if only in a small degree, it brings a little peace into that soul. The blood of Christ is a peace-speaking blood. And wherever a little of the love of God is found, it takes away guilt, and is attended with that peace and liberty which Christ's blood gives. This is the effect of it. But there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there is no peace to the ransomed church of God, but through blood. However little, it brings peace with it. It is peace through pardoning blood. Some think if they knew the pardon of their sins, they would not trouble about anything else and would be the richest creature upon earth. No riches can compare with these riches and righteousness. Dear Heart was a well-taught man, for he said, when his pardon is signed and his peace is procured, from that moment his conflict begins. I never knew the conflict till I knew the pardoning love of God in my son. And now I am old, I can say, my hope is fixed on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I feel myself a guilty wretch from day to day, and if it were not for everlasting salvation and a good hope through grace, there would be no hope for me. It is mercy that keeps this poor creature, so that he does not open the mouths of the ungodly. Heart says of sin, whose stench infects the air and makes the strongest traveller sick. I do not tell the people, you are too bad for Christ, too bad to come to him, for I know that his blood can cleanse from all sin. Some of God's children are more plagued with internal sin than they used to be, to make them prize more highly the mercy of God in Christ. Some poor soul may say, I wish I knew that precious blood was shed for me. Poor soul, go on wishing. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we are very thankful. And a reminder that tonight's service is still at 6 o'clock. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free, and his dear name does help afford to sickly souls like me. 756.
Thank you. to the Lord for us. Lord, do guide us again this evening. Lord, we do pray that bless our to be great. Oh, Lord, may it prove to be thy appointment this day. Lord, we do pray that thou remember thy servant who was expected to be. Lord, do be draw near to him. Oh, do be very near to him today. Lord, grant him my presence. Oh, do appear to him. Help the children this afternoon, Lord, may there be something for them. Grant my blessing, we pray. Oh, do be with us, Lord. Oh, may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Oh, may we be a good day. Remember our elderly one in hospital. Oh, do draw near to it. Lord, be with us. Forgive our every sin to hear the prayers offered up this morning. Lord, we do pray that help. Oh, have mercy on them. Forgive our